Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. We have a number of visitors with us. We're very glad that you're worshiping with us today to come together and worship our God together. We're glad to have you. I have a couple of prayer requests. Catherine Sales asks to God be the glory and praying for prayers for those who are homeless and challenged with food and shelter and those that are mentally challenged. Continue prayers for her son, Daron, and that she will be able to serve God. Also, Amber, Gus, and Amaya are home ill. We need to remember the Lymans, and hopefully they'll have a speedy recovery. A lot of things going around, and people haven't been feeling well, and sputtering and coughing, and pray that your preacher can get through the lesson today without coughing. But anyway, let's go to God in prayer real quick before our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We're so thankful for the material blessings that we have. Not everybody has those things that we have. We ask that you be with those that are struggling right now. Give them assistance and help to better their situation. Dear God, we continue to pray for Daron. Please help him. Help us all to be able to serve you better. We ask that you be with those that are sick. A number of families are sick. Brother Kurt went home not feeling well today. The Lyman family are homesick. We ask that you be with those that are recovering and those that are in the midst of sickness right now. Please continue to be with us the rest of our worship service to you. We hope that everything we have done and continue to do is pleasing to you and is done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Title of our sermon today is Did, Does, and Will. It sounds like a Abbott and Costello routine or something, but it's taken from Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians. Jeff read it to us today, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 through 11. It reads, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also, helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many." What a wonderful passage. Just a few verses, but a wonderful, wonderful passage here. In verse 8, he is referring to the trouble that he's had in Asia. He's recounting some of the things and bringing to their remembrance, the Christians in Corinth, some of the things that he experienced in his journeys. And he doesn't want them to be ignorant. He wants to include them. They're strong enough to not keep it hidden from them. Some people you don't want to share the bad things with because they may get discouraged and flee from Christ. Paul says, I don't want you, I want to keep you in the loop. You know some of the things that I've been through. You know the trouble in Asia that we even despaired of life at times. In 1 Corinthians, he had written to them about his fighting with the beast in Ephesus. Wasn't animals. The beasts he's talking about were other people. That he was having to deal with animals of people that treated him brutally. In Acts 19, we see in Ephesus the whole city was up in a riot. He feared for his life. In Acts 14, in Lystra, he had been beaten and stoned so bad, they had left him for dead. These are just some of the events that in his missionary journeys in Asia that he experienced. And he's reminding the Christians in Corinth of this trouble in Asia. In verse 9, it was so bad, the only way he could turn was to God. He and his companions, the only thing we can do is trust in God. It was above anything we could do. Sometimes, and I'm sure you've experienced this, life gives you a gut punch. Life comes along and just kicks your teeth in. Sometimes there's things, God wants us to do what we can. He just doesn't want us to sit back and do nothing. But there are times where all we can do is rely on God. That's the only thing. And Paul is telling the Corinthians, we've gotten to a point, the only thing we could do was trust in God. And God only. There was nothing we could do. But we trusted in God. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I sure don't want to lean on my understanding. I want to lean on God because I fall way too short. And God never does. In Psalms 118, verse 8, the psalmist says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. I don't want to play Debbie Downer right now. Man will let you down. Maybe not always on purpose, but man can let us down. When we put too much trust or confidence in people instead of God, man falls way too short sometimes. But God never does. And that's what Paul was telling them. We were between a rock and a hard place. We were fighting with the beasts in Asia. So bad, there was nothing we could do. We trusted in God and God only. Verse 10. He delivered. He does deliver and will still deliver. Case closed. Period. That's the lesson right there. God has, will, or does, and will deliver us. He delivered us, past tense. Romans 6:10, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. He did that. He doesn't have to continually do this. And I'm so glad. But when we sin, we put him through it again. But he's delivered us. In 1 Corinthians, in his first letter to the church at Corinth, in chapter 15, it says, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death, where is your sting? Hades, where's your victory? Jesus has taken it away. He does deliver us. He does now. When Paul wrote that, he was talking about him and his companions at that moment. But he's talking as much to us today, right here and now, as he was to the Corinthians. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, a Hebrew writer says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, boldly, not give just lip service and doubt it, but we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Don't you know Paul relied on those words when he was dealing with the different situations that he dealt with? What's the most they can do? They can kill me. Is that all you got? Taking our life, is that it? That's all the devil has is the fear of taking our life. And Christ has pulled that rug right out from under him. Death, where's your victory? Hades, where's your sting? That all you got? Because he does deliver us. He did, he does. Right now. Those times, the things that look at how many times he's delivered us in our past. When we've been up against it. In a corner, not knowing which way to turn. He delivered us then. Some of us may be going through things right now, unknown to the rest of us. He's delivering us right now. He's with us. What can man do to me? We've got Christ. He will still deliver. In 1 John 1:7, the Apostle John wrote, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have the fellowship with one another. And the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the future. If we continue walking in that light in the future, he will still deliver us. That's good. Talk about the gospel being the good news. That's good news. Verse 11, you also helped and you benefited. I wish I would have included the verse that Michael did in this, because that was a better verse than the verses I picked. Those Corinthians have helped Paul through their prayer and by the gift they sent. In Galatians 6:10, Paul said, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The Corinthians did that. The Corinthians helped others, including Paul. And their gift helped him. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous soul will be made rich. It comes back to us. And he who waters will also be watered himself. We've all heard the saying, it's better to give than receive. When we give, we do receive. And that's what Paul's telling the Christians in Corinth. You helped me, but you've helped yourselves too. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25, he's asking, what an honor. It really struck me when I read this verse, preparing for this, the Apostle Paul is requesting them to pray for him. What an honor. What an honor when somebody comes to us and asks us, will you pray for me? Somebody at work, a neighbor, you might be the closest thing to God in their lives because they know you are a Christian. And somebody comes to you and asks you that you've let your light shine enough that they know who to go to. And they ask you to pray for them. What an honor. An absolute honor. That the Christians in Thessalonica get a request from Paul, brethren, pray for us. The great apostle Paul wants us to pray for him. He's this Christian Superman in our eyes. And he's wanting prayers from them. In Philippians 4, it says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. The Philippians, like the Corinthians, they gave out of their poverty. Paul never mentions the dollar amount that was sent. But he's thanking Christians, you helped provide for my necessities. He says, not that I seek the gift, but it benefits you. It benefits you. And the things that I accomplish will partly be because of you. That's what a great honor that they can take ownership in some of Paul's actions. I want to finish up and read this passage again. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Jesus did, does, and will deliver us. Guaranteed or your money back. Call before midnight and you'll get a special additional gift. Lesson is yours. This week, if you ever feeling your back against the wall, not knowing which way to turn, remember these verses that Jesus did, does, and will deliver us. What can man do to us? If you need to respond to the invitation, most of us that are of age in here, I know, are baptized believers. Some may not be. Some may still need to put your Lord on in baptism to be saved, to be forgiven of your sins. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent, the Apostle John said in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, if you're not walking in the light, repent, get back in the on the right path. Whatever your need, please come forward as Don leads us in the invitation and we'll address your needs. Let's stand and sing.